It's a running.
Yeah. Okay, wonder what the date is today.
I don't know.
The date today?
Tomorrow's when I go to the doctor.
Tomorrow's the 27th. Today is the 26th. Yeah. I know he goes back to doctor tomorrow. That's how I know this is the 26th.
It's May 26, 1988, and I'm talking to Hobart Blake.
Yeah.
Now, Hobart, what year were you born in?
19-1. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, sure is. And now, where were you born?
Up on Bragg Run, Jim Post Office.
On Bragg Run?
Yeah, right hand Fork Salt Lake, Bragg Run turns up off. We were born up there. There was 16 of us born up there. 8 girls and 8 boys. And the most of us played music.
Whenever you were talking, the tape in there, ain't you? Yeah. That's what I thought.
Now, Hobart, do you know how long your dad lived up there, or did he always live up there?
Ever since I was born, he lived up there. Uh-huh. His dad and mother come from Canada, over here.
Is that right?
Yeah. There was 3 girls and 3 boys. Uncle George Dean married Alice, and John McLean married Marianne, and I forget who married the other, 3 of them.
So your dad and your mother, your grandparents came from Canada?
Yeah.
And what was their names?
Val Blake and Jane.
And you have any idea why they came, why they did that?
I never did know they came to Canada, and they come over here and landed up here on the right-hand fork. And they're dead and gone years ago. And my great-grandmother was a full-blooded Indian.
She was?
Yeah, that's what they all said. My great-grandmother was an Indian.
From Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah?
From Canada over here.
Were all the Blakes around this section all, were they all related to those?
No, just a few of them.
Yeah.
Uncle Henry, that's my dad's brother, he had some boys. He got one or two lived over here in town. Uh-huh. And Wilford, J.D. Wilford's a preacher, he's 88. And Big John's a year younger than I am. He's 87. 86, I mean.
And they're your cousins?
Yeah, my first cousin. Uh-huh. That's only 2 years here. The rest of them's dead and gone. Uh-huh. And Race lived up at the above heater for the railroad crossing. There's above heater. She lived up in that holler. And she married a Richardson. And she's dead. Uh-huh. And Georgie's dead. And Crew's dead. That's Uncle Henry's girl.
Was there a lot of music in that family too, Uncle Henry's family?
No. Nobody played music in his family. Uh-huh. Now Wilford and Walter was good singers. Walter Blake could sing, but he couldn't sing with nobody else. Boy, he could stand up and sing just as good as Roy Clark or any of them. But he couldn't play music.
Now, Hobart, I met some Blakes over in, they said they come lived there around Clover Fork years ago.
Yeah, Clover Fork's right up here.
Yeah, up Boyle Creek.
Yeah. There's several Blakes lived up there.
Are they any kin to you?
No, there's one live right over there, two live right over there, or just over the bank right there, on the Salt Lake side. Uh-huh. They ain't no kin to me.
There was one they called Stuart Blake.
Yeah. And the steward.
And Bunk Blake was his son?
I don't know about, but Stuart lived up here. And the one they call Robbie Blake, he's got a crippled finger. He ain't no kin up, but he plays a fiddle. But he's dead and gone. Uh-huh.
Robbie?
Yeah, Robbie Blake. His name was Walter.
They call him Robbie?
Yeah, his nickname was Robbie. His right name was Walter. Huh.
Did you know Stuart Blake?
Yeah.
Did you know that he made those dulcimers?
Yeah, Stuart Blake made them. The man over Gasper makes them too.
Who's that?
I don't know what his name is, but I worked at them auction barns for 6 years. He'd bring them to the auction barn, but they were no good.
How long ago was that?
After I retired from the mine, it's been about 10 years ago, he brought them over there. They were no good, they wouldn't cord. Didn't have breaded upright. He sold several of them at the sale.
Was that Sylvan James?
Seems to me like his name was James.
James, maybe.
He made them. He got a good job making them, but he didn't pet them upright. I showed him one night how to get the cord, how they cord.
Yeah.
Take your little bar and put it in, and you can find where they cord at. And he marked one of them and said he'd change the press, but I don't know whether he ever did or not. If they don't cord, it ain't no good.
What can you remember, Hobart, when was the first time you ever saw one of them things?
Well, the first thing I ever saw, somebody brung it in up there when I was about 8 or 10 years old. They brung a dulcimer there. And it was an old one, and that pattern that you've seen come from that.
Oh, yeah.
Loy, that wasn't big enough then, but Loy was in World War II. And when he come back, they brung that dulcimer up there, and he laid it down on the paper and marked around it. And about a month or two after that, he went into it, and I helped him. I wasn't very big. I helped him paint the boards, and he made one.
That was, so, but that, he didn't get the pattern when he was away. He got the pattern here somewhere?
Yeah, somebody brung it in here from way off.
Yeah.
I forget, for some of John Dean's people, I can't think who it was brung it in there. I can remember seeing it. It's just exactly like that you had. Well, it was put together mighty poor, and it had a pin together, pinned. But it didn't sound good. But when they got this pattern here and made these, they cut down in the edge of them and set the rim down in it. Lloyd was a good carpenter. He cut down in it like that and set that rim down in it. And he heated them bands and put them in the press. And when they got dry, they just sat down in there just dead exactly. He made several of them. River Gray's got one.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Well, he made that one. Battle made several of them at Cedarville. I went over there with my youngest brother, and he had six of them. And Henry picked out, that's my baby brother Henry, he picked out one that sounded the best and gave him $50 for it. Baz sold the rest of them just in no time.
Do you remember when Baz started making them?
Well, as soon as he big enough to go to work.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And what year was he born, Baz, about?
Oh, I can't tell you. What happened to us when they tore up the house and disappeared, we couldn't find the Bible. All of our birth dates was in the Bible. We don't know who got it. Sherry said she didn't know who had it. I don't know who got it. A bunch moved in up there with Baz. See, my mother gave Baz the house and the farm. None of the rest of it had nothing to do with it. She made the will to him. And when she died, it was his. And so he got the place, and his family moved in there. The girl was raised in this country. She was a wine. She was old Tom Wines' daughter. She married some Bush, I believe is her name, and they moved in with Baz. And when the girls found out that they moved in, they all got together, went up there and put him out there. And he took everything that was loose. And we went up there home, and Henry didn't have nothing left.
That was on Brad Ground.
Yeah.
Is that house still standing?
Oh, yeah. He's the number one house now.
Yeah.
Howard Dean bought the place off of Henry. Then Henry left. He was gone 30 years. And he came in over to this motel and called over here to me, and him and he'd got married, his wife was with him. I went over there and brung him over, and he'd been gone 30 years.
That's a log house up there on Bragg Run?
No,
It's not.
No, I can remember when they built it.
Yeah.
Little Charlie Siglin helped build it. He was a carpenter. We built the house, saw the lumber up there on Bragg Run and built the house. It's a good house. It's up off the ground pretty high. And Howard Dean got it. He drilled a well up there by it. His well wasn't, see, we didn't have no bathroom. Had outdoors toilets. And when he moved there and put in the bathroom, the well wasn't running. It was a dug well. I can remember help digging the well. And it's there yet, the well is. He drilled one right down below it. And he had to have water plenty of it for the house. So he put an electric pump in it, and he paneled the house and fixed it up and put a siding on it out. Boy, it's a nice looking house. It had three rooms in the kitchen. The kitchen made off the one side like that. It's the kitchen put right in the middle of the long building. The kitchen's right in the middle of it. It's a big kitchen.
Did you ever know a man named Jack Keith?
Jack Keith.
That lived up there?
That thumb, I lost that thumb working for him.
He did?
Yeah. He lived right by us. We raised up with him. I know Jack Keith ever since making up the wall.
He was a sawmill man?
He was a stave mill man.
Stave mill?
Yeah. Stave mill set out chain in the Sutton Lane. You know where the high school is out Sutton Lane?
Yeah.
Right down that low place there is a house right along the edge of the road. That stave mill set back inside that house. I worked for him there.
And I saw a real old dulcimer that he made. Did you know he made them?
Who?
Jack Keith.
No, he didn't make dulcimer.
I saw a real old one that they tell me he made.
He didn't make nothing but stave and trouble. He was a trouble. I've known him all my life. I lived on his sister's place over there at Bratcham when I got my thumb cut off. I was living on his sister's place over there.
Now there's a woman lives down below Gasway. Her father's name was Singleton. And he had an old dulcimer, and she showed me the dulcimer. And she's about your age. But she showed me the dulcimer, and she said this was made by Jack Keith up on Bragg Run.
I was raised on Bragg Run. No Keith ever made one up there. Lloyd and Wendy now, I got another brother that played the, he could play them dulcimer that you ever heard.
What was his name?
Reuben. We called him Wendy all the time. He was 1 year younger than I am. He could just play them old fiddles and just sing as he could on the fiddle. Him and Lloyd made some dulcimers. And they made one for Jack Keith, and made one for a man over on Cedar Creek when they first went to make them. Oh my God, they made lots of them. Bass sent several to high and sold them.
Now this one I saw, Hobart, didn't look anything like the ones that Laurie and them made. Like the one I saw that Reva had.
Yeah.
Didn't look like them at all. It had a real big gold scroll on the top of it. And this woman said her father had that ever since she could remember. The first thing she could remember is he had that dulcimer. And his name was Singleton, and I think I can't remember his first name.
Glenn Singleton, he even made him one. He lived down there at Framedown.
Glenn Singleton.
Glenn Singleton.
Who made that one for him?
Lloyd and Reuben.
Yeah.
We called him Wendy. We made lots of them. But I never cared nothing about them. I didn't care how to help make them, but when they made, I'd done with them.
Yeah.
I helped Sam to step down and help glue them together and make clamps to hold them together. They dried.
Yeah.
Make wooden clamps out of a board. You never seen one made during that.
Yeah, I think I have.
Make, cut in a board and take a piece out and push more and put keys on them.
Uh-huh.
Wedge it.
Uh-huh.
Make them tight.
Uh-huh.
We should make them. Well, we've had high six. Three on each side of a Delsmere, then one on each end.
Uh-huh.
Now them ends is made, that neck's got one piece on it, and you had to make a piece for the other end, where the neck goes over.
Uh-huh.
Then the next is made holler. First they made it solid, it didn't sound right. So they took the neck out of it, and I helped them, and they took a chisel, and a backing chisel, you know what a backing chisel is? Mm-hmm. And cut out inside.
Mm-hmm.
And made it thin on each side of the neck. And it was thin, but then it sounded good.
Hmm.
I believe it's good ones I've heard.
Hmm.
My mother had one, I don't know what Henry done, but she's in the house when Henry got it, they're going to hang in there.
Hmm.
It was a good one.
And who made that one?
Lowell Windley.
Uh-huh.
See, they first started to making them. And Baz, he got big enough, he went to making them.
Uh-huh.
And he kept making them. He made a lot of money making them things.
Now, would you happen to know anybody around the country that's got another one that Laurie made?
No. I don't know who made that in Ribby Graveyard. Maybe Baz did, I don't know. Boy made several of them. Boy made the one that my mother had up there. Uh-huh. It was in the house, and what become of it? It might be up there yet.
Uh-huh.
Howard wouldn't have thrown it away. He left it there.
Now, Sarah seemed to say that when Lori came back from the service in the First World War, he brought the pattern with him.
Really? Man brung it in up there.
The man brung it in?
Yeah, brung it up from him. He made the pattern off of it.
And who was the man that brought it?
Some old man. I don't know who he was.
Huh.
He could play it, but old time way.
Uh-huh.
Played the old like Arkansas time and stuff like that.
Played what?
Played the Arkansas time.
Yeah.
I can remember that. And then he'd talk and play.
What, he sing with it too?
No, he just talk.
Talk.
Tell about the Arkansas time. Pat Coger up there, he's an old man. He used to come up home a lot. He'd get tickled. He'd like to hear that fella talk about Thornton's all the time. Yeah.
Is Pat Coger, was that a fiddle player?
Yeah, old timer.
I thought I heard him.
Yeah, he played old time.
Uh-huh.
He lived up here at the Jim Post Office, right this side.
Uh-huh.
You cross the bridge, you're coming down. He lived in his house. The house tore up. It was a log house.
Uh-huh.
It's gone, and they got a trailer up on the bank here now.
You say your dad played the fiddle.
He was one of the best I ever heard. Everybody, you ask, sir, anybody ever heard him? Say he's the best fiddler I ever heard.
Uh-huh.
He could sit and play for hours and never play the same tune over.
Huh.
Boy, he could play.
Hobart, did you ever know your grandpa that came from Canada?
No.
You never knew him?
No.
Do you know if he played the fiddle?
I didn't know it. Bow was his name. No, he didn't play nothing.
Uh-huh.
He was old, and I can remember. He died on Bragg Run.
So you did know him a little bit?
Yeah, I know him just big enough to know him.
Uh-huh. What was he like? What did he look like? Or?
Well, he looked like my dad a whole lot. But when I seen him, the cancer eat the whole side of his face out, mm-hmm. and his naked bone was there.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember that just as well as yesterday. And the colored woman stayed with us, named Ann Johnson. She weighed pretty near 300 pounds. She's a great big healthy woman, and boy, she'd get around as good as him by help hold corn and pull corn shocks in on her back, just same as a man.
And she just stayed with you to help to
She
work?
Stayed with Grandma.
I see.
Yeah, she stayed with Grandma, and Grandma died.
Huh.
Grandma died right up here on Dump and Run. You can see right around up there. She fell dead under the service tree. And she was 80, I believe she was 86.
Did any of your people play the banjo any?
No.
Didn't play the banjo.
My cousin plays. Man is Blake, the boy of Blake's boy. See, boy was Uncle Henry's boy. And his boy's name Maynard, he lives over there. Me and him and Sarah went to Summersville and carried away all the plays.
Carried away what?
You carried everything. We win every prize that's put up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the fiddler's contest. Sarah went and hit. And the guitar contest, I wouldn't play in. And she grabbed the guitar and said, I will. And she could play the guitar. And she played. She went second prize in that. Went second prize in the old fiddler's contest. And we win second prize in the squad contest. Huh. Yeah. Boy, she can. I mean, her and Maynard used to play good.
Now, how did Maynard play? He play old time way?
No.
He picked it.
Uh-huh. Boy, he could play the prettiest second you ever heard.
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
Where does he live?
He lives over on Cedar Creek.
Maynard played.
Maynard Blake.
Uh-huh.
Now, Ward had three boys, Maynard, Woodrow, and Denzel. Now, Denzel could play the fiddle as good as Surrey can.
Uh-huh.
He could play just as good as Surrey dare play. Mm-hmm. Between him and Maynard used to play a lot. But his wife got lost her mind, bad off. He lives in Baltimore. He joined the church and he quit playing.
Who's that, Maynard?
Denzel.
Denzel, huh?
He quit playing. He was here last summer.
Uh-huh.
And stayed a good while with me.
Uh-huh.
His wife's bad old.
Huh.
They've got her in some kind of a home out there.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what become of Woodrow and his woman. I never hear him tell them anymore. The woman had a girl, Madeline. He had three boys and a girl.
That old colored lady you said stayed with your grandma?
Yeah.
Did she sing any music or play any music?
No. She liked to hear it, though. She listened all night at it, but
yeah.
She couldn't play.
Uh-huh.
And boy, she was one of the best cooks you ever eat at.
Yeah.
I mean, when she got a meal ready, you could eat it.
Yeah. Now, would she stay there like a hired?
No, she just made her home with
her. Just made her home.
Well, didn't have to pay her nothing. She didn't get nothing.
Uh-huh.
She just did her life. Her sister lived up here on Long Run.
Her sister does?
She did, yeah, but she's dead and they're all dead and gone.
Yeah.
I don't know. One of her cousins, Walter Johnson, I think he's living yet.
Uh-huh.
I seen him. He stayed up here with the Singletons and then they all died to give him the farm.
Uh-huh.
And he sold it. I seen him over something. He's disabled, he's not able to go around. He's a colored boy, but he's an awful good somebody.
Uh-huh.
Everybody likes him.
How old a man is he?
I'd say getting up close to 70.
Uh-huh.
Maybe he is 70-something, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
He was a boy when I was.
Did you ever know any colored people to play any music?
Yeah. There was a George White of a sudden went over in old Virginia and bought a boy when the slavery was sold and brung him in, and his name was George Morris. And they brung him into Sutton, and if the niggers wasn't slaved, he was to pay $500 for him. George White up a sudden, and when the niggers was freed, George had him. Mr. White had him. And he stayed. He didn't know where to go, had no money, and he stayed up there. And now you're talking about somebody who could play the fiddle. He was right up among the very best.
Yeah.
I never heard anybody to play better than George Morris. And my dad and him played, they played just as good as you ever heard.
They played together, son?
Yeah. God, you just talk like sound like one fiddle.
Would they come up to your place?
Oh, God, yeah. My dad, they'd come there. He stayed in the sometimes stay a month with us. Huh. He was a good old darky, just as nice as he could be in Monterey.
Hey, Ain't you the one who was up to Sherry's that day? You been up to Sherry's this morning?
No.
I hadn't seen her for a week or so. I just wondered how she was. I guess she's okay, though, or we'd heard.
Yeah.
We're just thinking about going up today sometime.
I might stop as I go down.
I ain't going up to Sherry's today because I got too much to do.
Do that tomorrow.
No, I can't do nothing tomorrow, and you know it. Tomorrow, when you have to go to the doctor, you don't get nothing done.
They cut only 4.5 inches right up.
It was glad and cold and bad. You couldn't clean house even.
It's a cold spring I ever saw. I've been here. I'll soon be here 87 years, and I never seen this cold in spring. Ought to pull off my heavy underwear, heavy clothes. I put them off. I put them back on last night. Boy, he's cold.
That George Morris, was he married?
No.
Never did marry?
No.
Do you know how long he lived or when he died or anything?
He died over on Long Run. He was, he died at 84. He died over to Joe Burnett's. Darky, big tall, some darky called Joe Burnett. He lived on Long Run and he died at his house.
Do you know where he's buried?
No, I don't know where he's buried at, but he's buried on the Long Run graveyard, I'd say. I guess he'd be buried over there.
Huh. What else do you remember about George White and George Morris?
Well, I can remember when I was... One time he left here and was gone about a month. When he came back, the first 22 I ever saw in my life, he brought it with him. It was a Stevens crack shaw. And you pull the hammer down and push the lever down on the side and turn the block back on to open it. Mm-hmm. And it was a 24-inch barrel, heavy gun. And he gave that gun to my mother. And it was in the house when they gave it to Henry. But boy, it had been shot a lot. It was a good one. And from that on, from that day on, we've had 22s. I hunted a 22 all the time. I got me one the other day made in Germany. Brand new, and never shot till I got it. The price tag is only $350. It's got a clip in it, and it's got good rifles in it. It kind of fitting them anymore. You can't get a gun to hold shots. I went and traded and got a brand new Remington Scoremaster pump gun. And I thought, well, that's what I need. And I shot it. Couldn't do any good. And there's a man lives right across there. There's three families right there together. One in that trailer and two in that house. And then Charles Gerwick married one of John's girls. And he was the number one good shot. John's a good shot. And he came up there one day and shot that 22, and he couldn't break them together, just 40 feet across that dugout up there. And I shot and couldn't do any good with it. I'm back up Flatwood to Daniel Rogers, and he helped me fix it up, and I sent it back to the company. Sent it back to the Remington Repeat and Arm Company, and I got a letter in a few days, said they'd received my gun, and it only had a 21.5-inch barrel on when I sent it. They sent it back with a 22-inch barrel on it, and the rifle was off a dim in it. And I shot it. It didn't shoot right. It wouldn't shoot pearl, but couldn't break them together. Uh-huh. I took it down to Glenville. One day I was down and took it with me. There's a man down runs the Western Auto. He's got all kind of guns. And he had this German 22. He just got it. And the safe is on the wrong side of it. And it's a fine looking gun, it's heavy too. It's had 8 rifles in it. And I looked through it and I thought it was big enough to hold the shots. I told him I'd trade with him, and I gave him $100 and some to boot. You can buy a good gun for $100. But this suits me, and I like the looks of it. Has a screw set trigger, and a screw set safety, and the trigger spring got a screw set on. I said, God, hit, shoot.
What year was that George Morris brought that 22 around? How late would that have been?
I was about 12 years old. Uh-huh. I was big enough to hunt with a muzzle loader. See, my dad had no long muzzle loader. I was carrying 20 back like a saw log. When I shoot, I'd have to get me a stick to hold it up. Shoot. Well, I killed stuff. Anything I shot, I'd kill it. We was all good shots. And after I got that 22, I got to hunting with it, and I decided I'd just get me one. So a boy up here on the right-hand fork, he was a hunter, and he always runs with Jay Lynn. You ever hear tell of Jay Lynn Company? Well, they went out of business a long time ago. They had this gun advertised for $3. So he always had a 24-inch barrel on, but didn't have no butt plate on it. Had an old fin, looked like a piece of wood that's been split out or stalled. And he got it. I was working up there. Said if I'd work 2 days for him, give me that gun. Well, I worked the 2 days and got it. Well, I don't know, that's 22. Huh. And I've had all kinds of 22.
Did that George Morris, did he follow any kind of work?
Yeah, he was a farmer. He'd help farmers. Boy, he was good to have him help clean up the woods, man. He could grub and just tear him out like a bulldozer. He's a big, short, stout man. Then there's another digger, Darkie, called him Milk Perkins. He was sold as a slave, and he ended up down here about Bowery.